United States and State of Ohio versus Lemuel Benson.
May please the court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. The appellate court has below held conditions of parole signed by defendant Lemuel Benson for bribery to waive his Fourth Amendment right to be free from warrantless searches of his residence. However, the appellate court also held that a parole officer must have reasonable grounds to believe that Benson had violated the terms of his parole in order for a search to be justified. I'm here today to ask this court to reverse the decision of the appellate court for two reasons. First, the conditions of parole that Ben defined were broad enough to encompass a search of his residence with or without a warrant and with or without written terms and consent to violate the conditions of parole so long as the search itself is reasonable. Second, the appellate court erred in defining the exclusionary rule in this case. The court based its decision in large part on revised code 2967.131D, which established a requirement for searches to be on those grounds. However, that statute was not in effect until 4 months after the signed his conditions of parole in this case. Furthermore, the exclusionary rule did not bar the admission of evidence that ceased in violation of the state law, but is not violent of the Constitution. When Ben was released on parole in this case, he signed conditions of parole form. Condition 9 stated, I agree to a search without warrant my person, my motor vehicle, or my place of residence by parole officer at any time. Page 4 of the transcript illustrates that parole officers understand phrase at any time to be jumped out without any restrictions or restraints. While the plain meaning of the conditions of parole that is signed means that he waives his Fourth Amendment right to a warrantless search, the state maintains that reasonable grounds provide just one method of meeting Fourth Amendment reasonableness requirements.
So that it didn't say without cause. Do we read in there that the premises, etc., can be searched without cause? Is that how you read that?
Yes, Your Honor. I would say that's the purpose of the phrase at any time. The Fourth Amendment guarantees that a warrant shall not issue without probable cause and that the search shall be reasonable. If he waives the right to a warrant, then what is left is the fact that the search must be reasonable.
So you're arguing that at any time takes place of the words without cause?
Yes, Your Honor. Ben argues that there was a requirement of reasonable grounds even before the statute 2967. In so arguing, he relies primarily on the Arizona Wisconsin. However, that case did not apply with here. In the case of the existing Wisconsin laws and regulations that establish reasonable grounds requirements. The issue before the court then was the constitutionality of Wisconsin's scheme. The Griffin Court held that the scheme was constitutional because it established the Fourth Amendment, met the established Fourth Amendment requirements for reasonable.
Counsel, did the state make this argument to the Court of Appeals because they don't seem to focus on the phrase at any time? That argument doesn't appear in any sort of way in their opinion.
What the state's brief said to the appellate court was that the conditions of parole were broad enough to waive his Fourth Amendment rights to warrant and that the phrase at any time meant just that, at any time. The court, however, accepted the defendant's argument that reasonable grounds were required for the search.
Okay. It didn't seem that they refuted that position in their opinion, and I just wasn't sure that the state had made the argument.
Yes, the state made the argument that they held on to that reasonable grounds requirement. But the Griffin Court did not establish a reasonable grounds requirement. The Griffin Court merely stated that the Wisconsin statutes and laws were reasonable. And thus, again, reasonable grounds would be one way in which a search would be reasonable under the Fourth Amendment. Furthermore, unlike Wisconsin, there was no statutory requirement in Ohio until 2967.131 was enacted in November of 1995, again, 4 months after that by institution. This court stated on at least two occasions that prisoners have almost no Fourth Amendment rights. This court has also found that the only remaining constructive custody of the state while on parole, so he does not have his first Fourth Amendment rights. Instead, the parolee has a reduced expectation of privacy and restricted liberty. It's not unreasonable, then, to require a parolee to waive his Fourth Amendment rights. A parolee is not entitled to the full range of rights afforded to a law-abiding citizen. The government can impose restrictions on parolees' liberties that would be unconstitutional if placed on ordinary citizens. His restricted liberties are conditional and dependent on the observance of parole restrictions. Additionally, the United States Supreme Court has held that parole officers must have broad discretion in supervising parolees. Supervision cannot effectively evaluate recidivism especially in the construction, in cases without a work search provision, particularly because drugs are legally hidden. Parole officers certainly can't rely on a parolee to report his own violations, and supervision increases the likelihood of successful parole. One of the government interests in parole is to enhance the possibility of rehabilitation of the parolee, and a warrantless search provision furthers that goal.
This agreement literally means that a parole officer or someone could go into parolee's home at 3 o'clock in the morning for no reason at all, that just to check to make sure that he's there. Is that the way you read the agreement?
No, Chief Justice, I would say that the argument could certainly be made that if a parole officer was going in at 3 in the morning, that search may be unreasonable merely because of the time. However, in this case, the parole officer went in at 9:30 in the morning during normal business hours, during daylight hours, and Benton had been on parole for 6 months of the first search of his residence. So in this case, it wasn't unreasonable, although there certainly are.
I know the argument in this case, but we have to write law, of course. This is an important case because if this sort of agreement is deemed to be as broad as the state argues, it will have implications, obviously, in other situations. And so I think we have to carefully consider the ramifications of our decision, even though these facts, as you argue, seem to be reasonable in terms of time. But if we say the time factor is open-ended, it seems to me that it could be abused. How do we build in assurances that this sort of agreement would not be abused, other than having it redrafted, written a different way?
I think a comparison could be made between this and an administrative search of, for example, a liquor establishment that sells liquor, or a pharmacy, where there are time, place, and manner restrictions. Thus, in your example, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, the argument could be made that that's unreasonable because of the time. So there, we make the analogy between this time, place, and manner restrictions, then there will be a safeguard for the reasonableness of the search.
Counsel, it seems you're not conceding here that the search has to be reasonable. What happens to your argument about at any time if you take that position?
The requirement that the at any time is given to the idea that the warrant is not required.
But what's the purpose of a warrant? To ensure that there is some reasonable basis for a search. Right? So if you argue that it is, that the warrant isn't necessary, isn't the whole purpose of that to obviate the need for reasonableness to be established?
Well, again, I think that reasonableness still is required. The warrant.
Why?
Let me back up and see if I can make this clear. The warrant would be issued if there's probable cause. Griffin gives a good analysis of why probable cause is a much higher standard than reasonable grounds set forth in this kind of statute. Just because there's no warrant, just because there's a warrant, for example, a prisoner in jail, certainly there's no warrant required to search his cell. However, the search must still be reasonable. There are some reasonableness requirements therein. Just because there's no warrant would not automatically mean that the search would be unreasonable.
Reasonable under, based on the Fourth Amendment.
Yes.
So you're according a, some level of Fourth Amendment rights to even a prisoner in a cell.
That's what this court has held in Dieter and State v. Dieter and State v. Thompson, that prisoners have some very minimal Fourth Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. However, the exact nature of the threat has never been discussed.
If you take that position, then what does the requirement mean? The condition, read the condition to us again.
I agree to a search without warrant of my person, motor vehicle, or my place of residence, by a parole officer.
So that doesn't mean anything. I mean, we all know what at any time means. It means at 3 o'clock in the morning, or 10 o'clock in the morning, or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At any time means any time between midnight and midnight of the next day, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And it says we don't even have to have a warrant.
Correct.
So your argument that it has to be reasonable doesn't comport with the restriction, does it?
I believe that it does, because if you look at the Fourth Amendment, the first half says that a search must be reasonable. The second half talks about a warrant and probable cause, so I see the Fourth Amendment is addressing two very related ideas.
So you can have a search without a warrant if we construe it just to be reasonable?
Yes, Your Honor, I think so. I don't think that it's unreasonable to expect a prisoner who has very minimal Fourth Amendment rights, or a parolee with minimal Fourth Amendment rights, to allow a parole officer to come into his home to search to ensure that he's not violating his conditions.
So a policeman, now let's forget that a minute. You're talking about the Fourth Amendment now. That applies to everybody. So a policeman who suspects that there's cocaine being used in a home has no warrant, it's 9:30 in the morning, the search is reasonable.
If we're talking about a case of a parolee, yes, but a parolee...
We're talking about the Fourth Amendment generally.
Well, generally...
Because he's waived his right to a warrant, he's waived his right.
I'm afraid I'm confused.
Okay. Maybe I'm confused too. It just seems to me the explicit terms of that condition, if taken to mean what they say, you can go in at any time, because it says at any time, without any violation of a warrant requirement, and make a search. It seems to me that condition says every search under whatever condition is reasonable.
This is a parolee, and he signs this waiver. Isn't he, in effect, giving up his rights under the Fourth Amendment?
Sure.
Yes,
sir.
Okay. So, if the parole officer wants to go in at 3 o'clock in the morning, would he be justified in doing that under the agreement?
Again, I think if you read the agreement very literally, yes, he would. I mean, perhaps the wiser move would be to make the search during daylight hours, but yes, he would.
But he has a right to do it at any time.
Yes.
That's what the agreement says.
Yes.
And this parolee is giving up his Fourth Amendment rights.
Right.
So he can go in any time.
Right.
Excellent. Sit down there. Yeah. Oh, she changed it. Huh? She changed it.
Conditions of parole and the right of parole officers to search are very important for the parole officers when changed to freezing, particularly for the case of drug cases where weapons are so common to have established several opinions and health reports in Ohio that deaths and drugs are so
frequently
found together. So there's a very real point of concern about parole officer safety and entering the premises or residence of parole.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. Mr. Ryan.
Counsel, is your argument, do you believe that at any time refers to time of day?
My name is John Paul Ryan. Ryan. I'm here with my father, John Ryan. It is our position that the waiver of the warrant requirement is questionable at best. To say at any time is a phrase that refers to the waiver of the warrant requirement. And even that would be questionable, but for sure it means nothing further. A search of a person's house under the Fourth Amendment without a warrant is presumed to be unreasonable. Therefore, all presumptions as to this construction of a waiver, all the presumptions as to whether that was reasonable, must start with the defense, must start with the victim of the Fourth Amendment violation. It must start with the defendant.
When you say questionable, counsel, your argument is that you cannot have an effective waiver of Fourth Amendment rights?
An analogy, yes, sir. An analogy could be drawn to the Fifth Amendment. If it was a condition of his release, of a person's release from the penitentiary, in this case, even more far-reaching because it goes to probationers, as the right, state XL right, the APA. The court has found that parolees and probationers are the same, so this opinion will have an impact on probationers. If the condition were to say, the only way you're going to get probation or be released from the penitentiary is if you sign a form that says any time a parole officer or probation officer asks you if you've committed X, Y, or Z, you have to respond. And if they don't sign that, then they have to stay in jail. Then I believe that would be considered to be unreasonable.
There's no right to permission, there's no right to parole. It's a discretionary decision of the judge who is the parole board, so if you don't want to sign, keep him in jail. You've got to protect the public, you can't go let them run around and not have any probability.
Probation is the appropriate sentence in most, in many cases. Parole is the appropriate action in many cases. The parolee has proven himself to be a law-abiding, conscientious, good person. When we have 1.6 million people in jail in this country and they're being released, to submit all of them and say you will lose your Fifth Amendment right, or your Fourth Amendment right, or your First Amendment right, otherwise we'll just keep you in jail, would switch everything around. The probationer, the parolee, has the right. He never gave up that right. Why the state now argues that they have to give up that right before they're put in jail, this is the mark. It's not presumed that the best place for the person is to be in jail. It's not presumed that probation is not the best remedy for the situation.
Well, what do you see that he gave up when he signed that form when he was released on parole? And he said that his car, residence, person could be searched at any time.
He gave up the right to be searched without a parole officer or a probation officer going to a neutral judicial magistrate to see if the thoughts that the parole officer has in mind meet the constitutional levels. And I think that the reason why the state's arguing that a parole officer should not have to go to a neutral magistrate, that a parole officer who's equally engaged in this war against crime and who's equally caught up in the competitive nature of it, the reason why I think the state's arguing that the parole officer does not have to go to the magistrate or to the judge is for time reasons. It allows the parole officer to walk into the house without a warrant.
But isn't he in effect giving up the for cause then?
No, Your Honor. Again, the presumption is that any search of the house is unreasonable, particularly without a warrant. And to say at any time just simply means assuming, arguendo, that this waiver was valid. It simply means that he gave up his warrant requirement. Article 1, Section 14 states that all searches must be reasonable. It doesn't limit it to people who haven't committed crimes. It doesn't limit it to a certain religion or a certain class. It's the people. It's all people.
Counsel, what is a search?
What is a search?
Yes.
In this particular,
what's that term in the constitutional sense? E or why?
In this, it goes to an invasion of privacy. Anytime invasion of privacy, anytime a person's rights are invaded, it's very possible they have been searched. Clearly, the search of a person's house without, clearly, the search of a person's house is a search. Same with the car. Same with a person's pockets. Same with a person's papers or effects.
Doesn't it imply something more? Doesn't the term imply that you're looking for some things or things in particular?
I don't believe that it implies the subjective intent of this person who is searching. I think it implies that the inquiry should be into the intrusion into the person's places where he is deemed to be to have a legitimate expectation of privacy.
I guess I'm trying to see if there isn't another defined argument here. The waiver of the sign not only saves the parole officer from having to spend the time to go find the judge and get a warrant, it also saves them from having to meet the test on the cause of the reliable information, what have you, if the judge is going to require an issue the warrant. What does the waiver imply that the parole officer can just come in? People waltzing around looking for anything, not knowing, you know, with no indication that there's anything specific to look for. I mean,
My question is that really a search, or is that not a constitutional inference to invasion into one's home or one's automobile or those types of things?
Clearly, it defies any argument against, clearly it is a constitutional violation.
I mean, if you don't know what you're looking for, how is that a search?
And I think that even the warrant requirements, if they go to the magistrate, they have to state, one of the conditions of reasonableness, they have to state what they're looking for. But it goes even further than that. Now, if this officer...
But the waiver doesn't require to meet that. I mean, part of what the waiver does is he can have the flimsiest of ideas about what your client or someone else might be harboring. Information that just wouldn't pass muster with the judge, but would still let him come in because he's got some belief of something specific there that he or she is looking to find.
I don't think that the waiver waived probable cause. For sure, the Constitution requires that reasonable suspicion be provided in that case.
And so you would require probable cause up to the same level that the judge is going to require. So the warrantless search is only going to be permissible if, after the fact, you find there was sufficient reliable information and in the hands of the parole officer before he or she went out. That would pass muster had they gone down to the judge to get a warrant. That's the test you would have us apply.
Yes, sir. And I think the reason why I would ask the court to apply that test is the reason why they asked him to waive his warrant requirement in the first place. It was a time thing. It was a way for them to get into his house quicker. It was a way for the parole department to, as they say, protect the public and to rehabilitate. But requiring this probable cause before they violate someone's Fourth Amendment rights is not unreasonable. And the reasonable requirements, I think, is beyond reasonable suspicion. But of course, where the cases where the Supreme Court has found that reasonable suspicion was warranted are cases where you have children in the school environment, where kids are caught smoking in the bathroom and the principal wants to see if they have cigarettes in their purse.
What case do you have that supports your position?
He's expired.
That has to rise to the same threshold as would be required to obtain the warrant.
Well,
we don't say that. That's what I'm saying.
Griffin v. Wisconsin looks at a scheme that's reasonable.
That's
within
right.
Wisconsin. That scheme states not only does the parole officer have to have reasonable facts to believe that there's a problem in the house and there's a violation of parole, he also has to clear it with his superior. So that you don't have a parole officer caught up in any emotional...
So you have to write a standard that says you have to clear it with your superior before you...
I think that these are things that go to probable cause. I think that something goes to reasonableness. To have one individual entrusted with the First and Fourth Amendment rights.
Absolutely.
That he or she by himself, can go into the house, what he thinks to be reasonable, I think puts an awful lot of trust. I think that would violate the Fourth Amendment. The Supreme Court of the United States held in the Wisconsin scheme, the reasonableness was pass muster because not only did you have to have facts, but you also had to have someone else, possibly someone a little more neutral, less attached.
In that case, in that Griffin case, Mr. Ryan, was there a waiver precisely like the written waiver here?
There was a waiver.
Did it have the same words that we have here? Waive the requirement of a warrant and consent to a search at any time.
I don't remember it to any time.
I don't think that's in there in that case. The important to your argument is that the Court of Appeals here went through an analysis and a review of all the various sort of principles or rationales to waive Fourth Amendment rights, but then came down, didn't they, to an analysis. They said the terms of the waiver are what control. And then they looked at the words of this particular waiver by this parolee and then never talked about the words at any time. They said, you know what they said, they just said it only matters. Here we've only got a waiver of the warrant requirement.
I think that the court did state, though, that I believe that the terms of the waiver, the authorization for parole cannot go beyond the terms of the waiver.
Right.
And the terms of the waiver must be presumed, must be construed in favor of the defendant on contract theory alone, since they drafted the waiver.
Yeah.
And furthermore, since we're dealing with the waiver of constitutional rights, whether we take Johnson v. Burke or any of the other cases where we have a waiver of a constitutional right, all concerns are to be construed against the state. And where it's possible that a constitutional right was not waived, the defendant should be given that presumption and that benefit of the doubt. In this case, there is no language stating that all searches, reasonable or not so, could take place. And furthermore, I don't think that the APA has the authority to request such a waiver, particularly under the statute, which gives the APA the authority simply to allow for waivers where there's allow for searches where there's reasonable grounds.
Would the judge have the right to say either sign this or I don't give you probation?
I don't think the judge does because...
So he wouldn't have the right to require that condition or I'm going to put you in jail.
Again, there's two arguments. One is whether or not he has the ability to waive his constitutional rights, whether that's voluntary, knowingly, and intelligently waived. And the second argument is in this particular instance, were those rights waived, whether or not they were voluntarily and knowingly intelligently waived. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you can ask the person to waive their Fifth Amendment rights if they have to confess to any subsequent acts if they want to get probation or parole. And similarly, I don't think that you can ask a probation or parolee to give up all rights to unreasonable searches simply because it's required.
So your argument here would be if this is a waiver, it's an ineffective waiver. Unlawful waiver.
Unlawful waiver for custody in itself, and by terms, it did not state that it was unreasonable, that he waived the reasonableness of any search that would happen in this case. For that reason, I'd ask this court to adopt that before a parole officer or a probation officer searches the house in a criminal proceeding, that search be based upon probable cause. And I think on the test of reasonableness, if we had neutral people involved, whether it's probation officers, superiors, or superior parole officers, that would add to the reasonableness test. To allow...
That's a warrant.
It isn't your argument that a parolee cannot voluntarily give up the right to have this person resident search without cause. If those specific words are contained in the waiver.
Correct. I don't think that the Constitution will allow that, and I know that the statute, as it's written today, would not allow such a waiver to take place.
Oh, and your argument is that would be a totally invalid argument. The parolee could never agree to that.
I don't think the AP has the authority to ask for that to be waived.
So it can't be waived.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rossi.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rossi, you've saved 2 minutes of your time. I'd like to hear your argument with respect to the authority of the parole authority to ask for these waivers to be signed.
Your Honor, I would first point to the cases of Archetti versus Rhodes and Southern District of Iowa, both of those hold that a consensual search pursuant to parole is an appropriate exception to a requirement. So I would argue, Your Honor, that the parole board certainly would have the authority to ask for such a waiver on the basis of those two cases. Second, I would argue that the waiver could certainly be voluntary under those cases as well.
You either sign this or you go to jail. Voluntary.
That's what other cases are. And these
you again and ask today for all reasons for suspension to make this court reverse the decision of the Second District Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you. Case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.